It's not the tongue in your mouth that tells the most truth about you, but the tongue in your shoe. There's a little phrase that I came across. I don't know who wrote it. It's a little ironic. I do not have tongues in my slip-on shoes today. But I thought that it was a cute little way to say something that we all know. From childhood, I think we all learned that actions speak louder than words. And some of us might even know that Ben Franklin said, "Well done is better than well said." I think we can all agree that actions say a lot about us, a lot about who we are. Now, that does not mean to dismiss that words don't matter, because they do very much matter to us. Just look around, we see that words can be very divisive, words can be hurtful, they can be downright mean. But then words can also be encouraging, they can build up, and they can show that we have empathy for others. But I like this phrase about actions being so important, because I think our gospel and all of our readings today really ask us to examine our actions, to see how do the tongue of our shoes take us into the vineyard to do the work that we are called to do. It's not the tongue in our mouths that tell the most truth about us, but the tongue in our shoes. Today, Jesus gives us the parable of the two sons. We just heard that the father asked each of them to go out and work in the vineyard. And the first one at first says no, but then he does go and does what his father asks of him. The second son says, "Yes, I will go out," but then he never gets to the vineyard. He doesn't do the work that the father has asked him to do. And Jesus asks the crowd, which of these has really done the father's will? And they respond, the first one, and Jesus seems to affirm that choice. At first, the first son says, "No, I am not going to do that," but he has a change of heart. He changes his mind and he goes out and does the work. He recognizes the error in his ways and he goes and corrects it. He ends up going and doing what he knows is in his heart. He goes and he puts into action what he knows he must do. And he goes and he does the Father's will. I think we are invited today in this parable to do the same thing. To go out and do what we know is in our hearts. To go out and put into action the truth that we have been given by the Holy Spirit. To really go and put our faith into action. Now we know ideally, our words and our actions should match each other. We are called to live authentic lives, lives full of integrity. And I think Jesus makes it clear, though, our actions matter more than any of our good intentions. Earlier in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father." And later on, we will hear Jesus say, "Whatsoever you do to the least of these, you do to me." He doesn't say whatever you say should be done, but whatever you do for the least of these. And this should make sense because, after all, we have this great example of Jesus. Jesus says, "I came to forgive, I came to heal, I came to heal what was lost. I came to find what was lost." And these are not mere empty words, but Jesus goes and he puts them into practice. We hear throughout the Gospels, he ate with sinners and he healed those who were sick in body and in spirit. He goes out to those who are on the margins of society and he embraces those that he finds there. In his life, he lifts up the downtrodden, and he's even willing to leave the 99 so that he might go and find the one that is lost. Quite literally, Jesus practiced what he preached. And we know sometimes it got him into trouble, but we also know that he did it to show forth the kingdom of God and to do the will of his Father. Not only with words, but with actions and building concrete relationships, Jesus let, I guess we have to say his sandals, he probably didn't have tongues in his shoes, but he let his feet take him where he needed to be and to those people that needed him the most. This parable and the life of Jesus really invite us to look at our own lives, particularly what we do, or maybe even more importantly, what we fail to do. To ask ourselves, do our lives really reflect the life of Jesus? Are we really living or showing or doing what we say when we profess our faith, when we look in our hearts and see the truth that is there? Do we put flesh to our faith, letting our own feet carry us out to those places where Jesus calls us and to those people that need us in that moment? Do the tongues of our own shoes match the tongues of our mouths? Because we know that polite words and moral platitudes and even pious gestures are all good, but we also know that they need to be backed up. Backed up by some committed activities, being backed up by those actions that put into practice those things that we say. Now, we have to be careful and clear. These actions in and of themselves do not bring us to salvation. We need Jesus Christ. We need grace. But these actions show that we are open to living like Jesus did. They show that we are open to the grace of the Holy Spirit that can transform our lives. They remind us that our faith and the words we say, the creeds we profess, should influence us, should lead us to some action, so that like Jesus, we too can build up the kingdom of God, modeling our lives after that of Jesus and allowing him to be the example of what we are called to do. So what does this really look like in practical lived experience? Well, for good or for bad, I think right now our lives give us many, many examples. You know, it's one thing to say something like racism is a sin, and which it is. But it's another thing to make sure that we are not perpetuating stereotypes. It's another thing to not laugh at that off-color joke because we're a little, you know, insecure in ourselves. It's something to stand defiantly in the face of hatred, in the face of violence, and to say, this has to stop. We are called to look at our own lives, our own biases, our own blind spots, and to do something so that we can get rid of those a little bit. Every morning when I leave my house, every day when I come back from work, I'm reminded of this. Planted clearly in our front yard is a sign that says, hate has no home here. It's easy to put that sign out there, but it's difficult to have the courage to put this into practice, to treat others with respect, to relate with others, to forgive others, to really allow my life to be one that puts all hatred, all division aside. But for me and for all of us here, it is our invitation to go into the vineyard and to put into practice our faith and our words. It's another thing to say, I am unconditionally pro-life, as John Paul II called us to be. But it's another thing to be willing to protect the unborn, the poor, the abandoned, to really provide resources for those who are in need. It's another thing to give hospitality and welcome to the migrant and the refugee. It's another thing to work for to work for structures that support those who are vulnerable, both the young and the old, to support those who deal with some disability. And it's another thing to not turn a blind eye to issues like modern-day slavery or economic and social inequality. This, again, is an invitation for all of us to go out into the vineyard, to put our faith and our words into practice. Another example, to say that our political system is out of control and too divisive. It's easy to say that. It's especially easy to say that behind a smartphone on social media. But it's another thing to actually work to build unity, to build stability around us, to engage in dialogue, to not wade into the incessant name-calling that we see, to not have an air of I know it all or I'm holier than thou, but to really listen to others and be committed to learning from others. It is an invitation to go out into the vineyard and to put our words and our faith into action. All of these and many, many more are invitations to become like Jesus, to walk in the ways of righteousness, to build up the kingdom of God, to put our faith into action. I think maybe this is all summed up in that beautiful second reading that we have from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, this great Christological hymn, where we are called to have the same mind, the same attitude of Jesus Christ, who said, I give my life for you, and who then went out and did it, who emptied himself, who humbled himself, who died on a cross, not out of selfishness, not for glory, not because he would receive anything, but so that he might follow the will of the Father, that he might bring life for each and every one of us, that he might bring forth the kingdom of God. What would it be like if we did this in our own lives? What would it be like if we emptied ourselves and humbled ourselves? If we were willing to not be selfish and even to think of others as more important than ourselves, I think if we really put that all into practice, we can change the world. Because we would see the struggles of our brothers and sisters and we would reach out to care for them with compassion. We would reach out to those who are in need. We would not be scared of each other, but we would embrace each other. We would see the person in front of us as more important than any ideology or even any political system. We would not give in to our insecurities, our misguided fears, so that in the moment we can realize the needs of others that might be more important than our needs in that moment, because they are those who are oppressed, who are marginalized, and who are hurting. What would it be like if each and every one of us allowed our own lives to be transformed into the life of Jesus Christ, to follow all that he has done for us? In a few moments, we will experience this in the Eucharist, where Jesus once again says, "This is my body, this is my blood," and he doesn't leave it there just as words. But on the altar, he gives us himself. He gives us his body and his blood. Not empty promises, but salvation and love tangibly coming out to meet us in this very moment. Brothers and sisters, the gospel today, the parable we hear, all of our readings, they invite us to look at what we believe, to look at what we say, and to put those words into concrete action, just as Jesus did in his own life. Let's pray that we might live lives that are authentic, lives that are full of integrity. Let's always remember that it's not the tongue in our mouth that tells the most truth about us, but the tongue in our shoe.